Welcome to our Destiny series that has been going on now for a couple weeks, and we've still got a couple more weeks. We began a few weeks ago by trying to figure out what do people mean by destiny. And to be honest, before I joined this church, the only time I ever heard the word destiny, it was about, so like, Dad, what's the destination? You know, like, where are we going for holiday? And we lived overlooking the beach on the bluff in Durban. So if you've ever been to Durbs, you go away from town where everyone goes to the real surfing spots at Cave Rock. That's where the most surfboards have been broken in any location across the universe, even Hawaii, because there are awesome rocks. So when the water sucks up, there's just bare reef. So as you're coming down, whether you're riding goofy or normal on your surfboard, you look down and there's no water below you. I don't know what you feel, but when you're on a 10-foot wave, no water below you could be a bit problematic at times. So you really want to ride the crest of the wave and not land up at the bottom. It's dodgy, to put it mildly. And growing up on the bluff was a surreal experience. Growing up in the best part of the world, most people say Cape Town's great, they just talk rubbish. And it's much better than Joburg by 100 times. But my dad would leave Durban and come to Joburg for every single school holiday. The Oak was like, he was gone. He had lost it. We eventually got him stuck in a mental village. But it took a lot of persuading mum that her husband was actually mental. So if you don't like what your parents do in life, you can just get them put in a mental institution. No, that's not the message today. I'm sorry. That's not the message for today. But we did. We came to Joburg and we would swap houses with people. I mean, most people wanted to come overlooking the beach. I'd taken a punga and cut a little, like, road down the path. I had a bush path down to the beach, and it was very steep, so it didn't take long at all. It was like instant. You just stood and you slid down, and before you knew it, you were dashed on the rocks. And that's why I look like I do. So when you see me, you must know the rocks at Cave Rock. That's why I got the face I've got. And so the only time I came across the word destination was when destination is Joburg. But we're talking a little bit different than that kind of destination. It's related in a way, but it's a specific task that God wants you to do while you're here on planet Earth. You're not just here to breathe. Please, we've got enough people taking our good oxygen, stealing it, like oxygen thieves. Okay? In the next generation, probably we're going to do passive euthanasia, and anyone over 45, no, maybe should be 55, otherwise I'm dead, they get put down. Because we don't want our oxygen depleted, right? Before you breathe your last breath, you need to accomplish what God has put you on earth to do. I got a great book back from Campus Harvest. The one thing you can't do in heaven. What do you think it is? You can pick your nose in heaven. You can do almost anything in heaven. You can't? Yeah, that too maybe. Or maybe it should be two things you can't do in heaven. What do you think the one thing is you can't do that you can do on earth that you can't do there? Sin, that's another one. No, there's three now. Steal, that's a sin. So far. But the fourth one is? You can't tell other people about Jesus to get them to heaven. You can only do that this side of eternity. Ne? Am I right? Like, in the end, you can't go like evangelizing Moses and David and Bathsheba. I mean, they're there in heaven. You've got to do that here. So before you get to heaven, here is a task that you need to do. Okay? Now, I'm not going to tell you what that task is. You have to figure that out because it lies at the intersection of four things. Your abilities, things that you can do, your natural gifts, your talents, and a passion that you've got in you that this is what energizes me, I love doing this. A need in the world around you. And finally, your conscience. What is within saying, you need to do this. I can't not do this, okay? It's something that I'm being driven to. And so we're in this process of actually finding it, finding out what it is. And so all you have to do is look at your abilities, your passion, the needs in the world around you, and your conscience, and voila, it's simple. You know the next thing that God wants you to do on earth. So what we did is we took this little worksheet 2 weeks ago, in fact, and we completed two of them. We answered these questions, abilities and passion questions, and we were halfway there. Then we went home. We came back last week. We said, are there some needs that I'm concerned about? Secondly, is there something in my conscience that's saying something? And we began to write down what we believe is our destiny in a few statements first, and then we completed that statement, God has put me on earth to do something. And then we tested it with these two questions. Does it glorify God? A bit of a churchy word if you're new here. Does it make God bigger? Does it bring him fame? Or does it just bring me fame? My destiny is to be the most famous, most loved rock star with dark glasses. That's why I thought I was on the way this morning, but turns out they were Cheryl's, which made me feel rather feminine. So I don't know what it is. And so obviously that destiny, if that's my destiny, that's not glorifying God, is it? If I want to find a place on a global stage where through my music I'm well known so that I can share a message with other people, so I can raise money for orphans in Kenya, for example. Can you then see how a similar goal with a better destination, with a better destiny tail to it, that's so much better than it's about me, Bugamina. If you were Zulu, you would know what that means, which means, look at me, I'm the man. I can dance like Michael Jackson. I've been practicing the moonwalk pretty good, right? So obviously I'm not a Jackson. Secondly, does it build someone else? Is it just about making me more famous? I want 30 cars. Is it about me? No. It's about building other people up. There's a scary verse in the scripture that says, only say to someone else that which is helpful for building them up according to their needs. Ephesians 4:29. If I had to only say what's helpful for you, I'd probably cut my conversation down by half, right? Because half the time it's about me. It's about, hey, I'm going to look good by the things I say. What if I'm just trying to say, God, what do you want me to say to this person? And so how does it glorify God and how does it build others? Well, today it's time to refine, okay? Say with me, it's time to refine. No, but like with a hip-hop accent, like me. It's time to refine. Mighty fine, okay? Because you guys need to get this hip-hop thing, okay? Because I've worked long and hard at this and... Could I have those shades back and then I'll be able to do the whole hip-hop look, maybe. Now, why do you want to do that? Why do we want to, like, before we rush on with this destiny thing? Well, firstly, it's going to make it clearer. This is a process of, like, a better understanding of what is it. Secondly, you need to hear yourself speak it. In a safe environment like this today, I want to give you a chance to turn to a little group of people. We're going to split up in 2 minutes' time, and you're going to hear yourself share it and speak it out. And then also, you'll be able to overcome doubt. You know, that insecurity that we have, like, I don't know, this is too big. I want to rid the world of landmines. Let's say that's my destiny, like Lady Diana. I don't know how many of you know that, but some of us planted landmines in Angola, and it took Lady Diana and other nonprofit organizations to get rid of them so people aren't being maimed. That was her destiny. She probably thought, I don't know if I can do this, you know? I gotta look good. I don't know if I can go stomping around in a field feeling for landmines because I'm Prince Charles's wife. Okay, we know how that story ended, which wasn't so great. There were three or four people that really questioned whether they were able to live their destiny. Think about Moses. When God appears to him and God says, I want you to go and deliver the people who are slaves, Moses says, who am I to go to Pharaoh and ask him to let his slaves go? He's like, you got the wrong guy. A little bit later he says, but I can barely speak. You know, can you send Aaron? Send my mate. He'll go. Lord, I can't go, but send a kin. I mean, he plays drums really well. He can do it. I'm just going to like retire and sip martinis. No idea what a martini is, but I know it's got an umbrella on it. Who am I? Before we know it, this same guy has laid a highway through the Red Sea and the people are driving out to freedom. Before you know it, they are camping around a mountain and miracles being done and angels all around. And before you know it, people are in the promised land, out of captivity. From who am I to like, hey, let's go. Mighty Exodus happened way back then. The next guy we come across is a guy that's not very brave. He's doing wheat stuff, okay? He's like cutting up bread and he's doing it, but he's underground and he's all afraid. He's afraid of the Midianites who are this big army. They're the oppressors in the land. And he's just like, we've been slaughtered left, right, and center. They hadn't got the Jesus blood song yet, so they were just being slaughtered. They weren't slaughtering the enemy yet at this stage. We should have uploaded it to them. And so this angel, I don't know how many of you saw. I looked up there at one point. I thought it was an angel, but it was that reflection. But I believe the angels were dancing around in here this morning, especially when those guitars were going. And so this angel is dancing around in front. I don't know how angels, like what their jive is, but they were like jiving in front of Gideon, and they say, hey, mighty warrior. You're like, ooh, Mina, I call him me. I'm not a mighty warrior. I'm hiding away threshing wheat here underground. Who am I? I'm like the weakest dude. I'm the baby in my family. What? Pick James. I'm Sean. I'm half the size. I mean, poor Sean this morning was trying to reach for a table tennis ball that bounced near the net. The dude had to stand on the table to get the ball. You know, he's clearly got some growing to do. Pepsi, your spirit has like descended on us this morning. I'm just ripping everyone off this morning. I'm the least important guy. And God says, no, Sean, it's you. You're the guy. I'm using you. Like, what about James? Won't he be jealous? Oh, tough luck. He needs to be brought down. He's outgrowing his pants. James, stand up and let everyone see your pants. This is how you come dressed next week, all of us. 3-quarter pants, shoes. I'm doing that next week. I don't know about you. Okay, thanks so much. Pepsi, what did you start today? Sorry, man. New girl's like dissed by everyone. Everyone's just like slaughtered. Okay, it's that song. So he says, who am I to rescue Israel? Who am I? You getting the theme here? And before you know it, him and 300 mates are decimating the Midianites. 300 mates are like, whoa, and the people are set free from bondage. The next person is David. Who am I to be king, he says. I'm a shepherd boy. I mean, shepherd boys, they're not exactly like right up there in the highest parts of society, right? They're just simple little guys. I mean, he did wrestle that lion one day and a bear, I think. He killed a couple things, but he's still a shepherd boy. He smells. You don't be king. Before you know it, he's slaying Goliath, and he's way on his way to being the king of the whole of Israel, uniting the two parts of the country that had divided north and south. Then there's wise old Solomon. He says, who am I to build the temple? You know, I don't know if I can do it. Like, David was a mighty guy, but I'm just a dude with 700 wives and 3,000 concubines, and I'm busy, you know, with all these women. I'm like, I got like a day job here. It's day and night. Who am I to build the house? Before you know it, he's built this most spectacular building. And even today, if you go to Jerusalem, you see the foundations of what must have been the most grand place that was ever seen. Can you see that a couple people had some doubts? Well, here's what you're going to do, okay? Jonathan and Patrick and Cheryl and CK and Imta and Andrew, and Ken, huh? And that Andrew, not the other Andrew, she's got nervous for a moment there, are going to position themselves around the room, and about 3 or 4 of you will gather around them quick, and unless you weren't here last week and the week before. If you're a new guy or girl, come to me. I'm going to give you a handout and get you going. Here's what you're going to do. You're simply going to share what you've learned so far out of the destiny worksheet, okay? So whatever's come up so far in this thing, you don't have to have it. You just like remember it for a moment. Say, God, remind me, because I've got like a male brain and I can't remember a lot. And you'll share it, and I'll tell you what we're going to do after that, okay? And they'll either encourage you, slap you on the back, or tell you like, no, that's not it. Probably encourage you, okay? One person from each group is going to come and share tentatively what they believe their destiny is. Okay?
What you got? Okay. Blah, blah. Okay, well, my destiny, I figured out, is to build an orphanage, right? And now, to get the funding for the orphanage, I'll need money, obviously. So, what I'm going to do is, I guess, I like singing, you know, and acting and writing. So I'm going to write a book and like sing in a concert or something and like maybe direct a play or something. And then the money I get from all those things, I'm going to do to build the orphanage. And in the orphanage, I'm going to share the word with the kids on the street. So yeah.
Awesomeness.
Well, I like sports a lot. So like, I like want to take kids from the townships and get them like to play sports, like get them away from like doing wrong stuff like drugs at a young age, stuff like that, like build more sporting facilities for them, like what I'm doing right now is like every time like when I go home I help my cousins like because they love sport, so like I help them with soccer and all that stuff and like basically try to keep them fit and all that stuff. Yeah. So yeah.
Awesome.
Hi. I'm still thinking about it, but I think my destiny, because I am a talkaholic, is to kind of like, you know, like talk. I want to be a lawyer, so I want to like defend teenagers mainly. And I want to like one day, someday possibly, I want to like build like the most hugest like youth center, church, something, one of the most biggest one in the world. And I want to like, while I'm doing, I want to like install faith and confidence, because I do have confidence in me and I'm sure that everybody else has doubts sometimes. So like, if you know that you are confident in things, you won't be wary of the decision that you make. And you will like know that you'll walk in faith and in patience, and you'll kind of like, you know, you will wake up every day with a smile because you know that you make someone else smile and you'll be happy. So I want to like help like with the inside, not the, yeah, that part, that one.
Okay, since I want to do sports management after graduating, I would like to follow up into my coach's footsteps and taking the young youth and removing them from drugs and alcohol.
Stunning. Robert?
My destiny is to take what I'm good at to encourage other people to do what they do best. Like, for instance, I'm passionate about dancing, and I'm these days I'm writing poetry, and the whole point of this is that is to encourage other people and what they're good at to get off their comfort zone and do that. Yeah.
Can you see how that glorifies God and builds others up? Well done. Awesome. Shia. Oh, awesomeness.
Well, I've got two destinies. One is to be a social worker to help abandoned kids get into homes. And then my second destiny is to be a chef.
And God will give you insights into how those work together. That's it. It's about living what God has put in your heart. I'm going to spend, I think, 2 weeks more on how do we actually live this thing. And we'll get some great insights from some characters who lived a long time ago. So make sure you come back to that. So let me have a word of prayer. Father, I pray that in what we've begun to sense as something from you, you would make it clearer. Even as we've shared it in groups and spoken it out today, we're more confident. Lord, sometimes it seems like things are unrelated, but we know in you they're not, and that you will show us whether it's sequential or things that happen at the same time. Help us as we need support for this and funding and insights and wisdom. Thank you, God, that you have taken ordinary people and had them do extraordinary things. So we bring to you our abilities, our passion, our conscience, and we pray that you would link that into a need in the world around us and bring us back in the following weeks to testify about what you're already saying and doing in our lives. We ask this in the awesome name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.